Underneath downtown's pavement and concrete and skyscrapers, a vast amount of water fuels life as we know it. This week's episode of Inventing Pittsburgh is brought to you by the Ice Age. From the highest elevations of Mount Washington, about 1,200 feet, you can take in the whole sweep of the river valleys, about twice as wide as the rivers running through them.
So then the question is, why is the valley wider than the river? And the answer is, the Ice Ages.
Charlie Jones teaches geology at the University of Pittsburgh. Jones says glaciers advanced into Pennsylvania about 800,000 years ago. As they retreated, miles of ice melted and sent torrents of water cutting into the landscape, carrying huge amounts of rock and sand along with them.
As the melts slowed, you know, they lost their ability to carry lots of sediment, and so lots of sediment sort of gets stranded in the valley floor in kind of random piles.
Downtown, the north side, those long flat areas on either side of the river that allowed us to build industry and homes and the city itself, yep, random piles of sediment.
The sediments are so porous and permeable that if you dig a hole in them, the water just soaks in super fast. And so it's mostly just water soaking in from the rivers themselves, I imagine.
Some people have mistakenly dubbed this water supply the Fourth River, making it sound like you can rent a kayak and shoot through a hidden cavern. Legend has it that the Point State Park fountain draws from the river. Cool, but not true. The fountain runs on treated city water, and the Fourth River is really an aquifer, 50 feet of sand and gravel on top of bedrock.
Here's the well, 1, 2, 3, 4. You can see the four well supplies.
William Gaddy, president of Trek Development Group, is in the basement of the 108-year-old Century Building on 7th Avenue. Carefully avoiding a puddle of standing water, he points out the guts of the building's open-loop geothermal heating and cooling system.
We're drawing water from the aquifer, running it into the building, running it through a heat exchanger, and then using that to heat and cool the building.
Groundwater, as far as heating and cooling goes, is like a loyal friend. Reliable, steady, with a fairly constant temperature that's between 50 and 54 degrees Fahrenheit, says Nina Baird, assistant professor at Carnegie Mellon School of Architecture.
Water will carry 3,000 times the amount of energy as air in an equivalent volume. So the groundwater, again, is a nice medium starting point.
For example, the Century Building uses groundwater to help take heat out of the 90-degree humid air it sucks in during summer to deliver cool air. This might seem very modern and cutting edge, but Baird says water use is as basic as it gets.
We've used groundwater for years in the city, to do cooling at least. Lots of times in our industrial past, we might have been using that water for process cooling if it was an industrial process.
By 1950, there were 85 wells in the Triangle that daily drew 9 million gallons of water. What does that look like? Imagine 9 pools, each as long as a football field, 50 feet wide, and 10 feet deep. Now, imagine draining all of them every day. While many of those wells have been capped, some buildings continue to draw on the aquifer.
Water's cheap. You know, it's not like Scottsdale or Phoenix, where it's a much more pronounced problem.
Over the next 10 days, there's a 0% chance of precipitation in Phoenix. But if a test well were drilled tomorrow in downtown Pittsburgh, 600 gallons of water per minute would gush to the surface. For 90.5 WESA Celebrates Inventing Pittsburgh, I'm Margaret J. Krause.
UPMC is proud to support 90.5 WESA Celebrates Inventing Pittsburgh. UPMC, life-changing medicine.